Words on Water.
This episode is brought to you by Arcadis, the leading global design and consultancy firm for natural and built assets. Visit www.arcadis.com. Welcome to Words on Water, a podcast from the Water Environment Federation. This is the host, Travis Loop. A great topic today, and that is the one of advanced asset management. I have two great experts with me for this episode who are going to dive into this. I have Celine Heyer, Water Conveyance Lead with Arcadis North America. Celine, how's it going today?
Great, doing wonderful.
Good. I have Eric Bindler. He is Research Director, Digital Water at Bluefield Research. Eric, how are you?
Doing great, Travis. Thanks.
Utilities and their assets. This is important, big stuff. I'm curious, what is driving the need for utilities to change how they are managing assets? Eric, do you want to take a crack at that?
Sure, Travis. Thanks. So we have been collaborating with Arcadis. We at Bluefield been collaborating with Arcadis for a couple months now on looking at the advanced asset management space, and we've kind of narrowed in or highlighted four key drivers that we feel are among the most important factors that are kind of pushing utilities to change the way that they're approaching asset management. The first one is just the infrastructure investment gap. We've looked at projections by, for example, the American Society of Civil Engineers, mapped those out at kind of where that organization feels that we need to be in infrastructure investment on an annual basis versus where we actually are, looking at the kind of CapEx investment trends that we track at Bluefield. And so we see that from about 2000 to 2018 or 2019, the kind of annual investment need has grown about sevenfold. It's kind of continuing to trend upwards. Whereas when you look at actual utility, water and wastewater utility sector investment trends, it's just about flat from where it was in 2000. And so that gap, the difference between the kind of investment need and the investment that we're actually seeing, has increased from about $12 billion to about $80 billion.
That's incredible. That's an incredible gap.
So the infrastructure investment gap is number one. The second kind of key driver that we're looking at in this research is affordability. At Bluefield, we track on an annual basis, we look at water and sewer bills around the country, kind of have an index of 50 cities that we track. And looking at those utilities over the past 7 or 8 years, we see that sewer bills have gone up about 31% in real terms since 2012, which is about double the growth in median household income over that period. And even still, there's only about 21% of utilities in the country feel that even with those rate increases, they're fully able to cover the cost of providing service. And there's some pretty compelling research that has come out of the academic sector, for example, that as many as 36% of U.S. households could be unable to afford water in the next 5 years. So again, kind of forcing a conversation around finding ways to cut costs and keep costs down in asset management. The third key factor that we look at is the workforce, right? The Bureau of Labor Statistics estimated in 2016 that about 10.6% of water utility workers in the U.S. Would retire or change jobs each year between 2016 and 2026. So more than 10% of the workforce retiring or transferring jobs every year in that period. And some utilities are looking at losing as much as half of their staff in the next 5 to 10 years. So obviously there's kind of a huge need for finding ways to retain that institutional knowledge or capture that institutional knowledge before it goes out the door. But also, bringing in the next generation of workers and kind of competing for that talent and those skill sets in an increasingly tight labor market. And then finally, the fourth kind of key factor that we look at is the regulatory landscape. We've assessed regulations in kind of comparative terms across the major markets throughout the world. So the US, the UK, other major European countries, parts of Asia and Latin America. And we see the US really falling pretty far behind, actually ranking last in terms of the maturity of the kind of asset management regulatory landscape, you know, worldwide for the utility sector. And so that's a pretty stark kind of picture to paint there. But, you know, and we do see some interesting things happening and some kind of positive signs in you know, individual states, states like New Jersey or Ohio or Michigan that have, you know, put forth asset management policies for the for their utilities, or even asset management funding programs, for example. Though these are fairly partial in many cases. They look at just water or just sewer, rather than both, you know, in combination. And then at the federal level, you know, we have America's Water Infrastructure Act of 2018, for example, that has a couple important asset management principles embedded in it, but it's really looking more at kind of resilience, as opposed to kind of overall asset health. And so those four, you know, the kind of infrastructure investment gap, affordability, workforce, and then the regulatory landscape are really the key drivers that we call out in this research.
A side note, if you don't mind, that I'm working on the ASCE infrastructure report card for 2021, and I think everyone is just so tired of hearing that, you know, water is a D and wastewater is a D plus. It's been that way for quite a few years now. So I know at least on the report card side, we're really looking for, you know, how do we do something different? Because what we've been doing is really not making any difference.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I like what it was said there from both of you. I mean, Eric, you have pointed out the tremendous major drivers in the water sector right now. And Celine, I mean, what you've said about what we're doing is not making a difference. It's not breaking through and addressing those challenges. I mean, that's very relevant. And it sets up the next question of why isn't the traditional approach to asset management getting the job done then?
Well, I think the first thing is, in traditional asset management, the focus is really on the infrastructure, right? So you're looking at the risk and the pipes and the plants, but it's not taking into consideration anything else. So people are an important asset to a utility, right? There's risks if they don't have the right training and the right skill sets. You know, that needs to be considered as well. Even the data that you're collecting, the data needs to be considered an asset. You need to make sure that it's current, that it's been reviewed, that it's quality. So those things really need to be considered as well as just your plants and your pipes. Another key important thing is traditional asset management relies a lot on historical data and is very challenged in accessing data across organizations. There's a lot of data silos. So I was talking to a client just last week about, you know, how can they pull data from various sources just to produce a report for their stakeholders? And, you know, it may involve some data from the customer information system, from the geographic information system, from the computerized maintenance management system, from Joe's Excel spreadsheet. And no one really has great access, you know, across all of those different data silos to make good decisions. Now, you know, with different business intelligence software that's coming on the market, like Power BI and Tableau, you know, that's helping. But you know, not having access for data to make decisions is really a downfall. And using current real time data. And then I think the last challenge is, although if you look at the asset management frameworks like the ISO 55000 or the EPA, it talks about you know, making your asset management plans and looking at what your capital needs are as well as what your operations and maintenance needs are. But the majority of the plans that I've worked on over the past 14 years have been just capital focused. So it's almost as if the only strategy they're looking at is, all right, I'm going to do minimal maintenance and just run this asset, and then I'm going to have a capital project to fix it, and I'm really not going to try to optimize or balance out between the operations and maintenance and the capital piece. So really, those three things: the focus on physical, the data silos, and then really just looking at a CapEx strategy.
It doesn't have that kind of holistic approach here and tap into some other tools, which I think you're going to talk about this concept of advanced asset management. What does that phrase mean, and why is that a better option for utilities?
Well, I think in terms of how we're defining advanced asset management, you know, it's not something completely different. It's building upon the existing asset management framework, but it's just adding a focus of, you know, all the assets, as I mentioned, the people, the data, the physical assets. It's really trying to use the new tools with real-time data and analysis capabilities. And then again, focusing on the holistic approach of operations and maintenance, as well as capital in terms of looking at what is the best way to do your management.
Eric, what would you say about advanced Sure. asset management? I'm curious about your opinion. Yeah.
Sure. Yeah. No, I guess so. Just, you know, to kind of put a couple numbers around what we're talking about. So, you know, in the course of doing this research, we looked at some cross-industry studies, for example, to just get a sense for how other industries are tackling these issues, and really, you know, what are some of the potential benefits of you know, deploying or implementing these more advanced asset management practices that we're talking about. I think Celine mentioned the issue of kind of data silos and the fact that you know, in many cases, utilities have data across multiple platforms. They're not really bringing that data together for analysis. You know, one of the kind of related issues there is that in many cases, you know, potentially due to concerns with data quality or just, you know, the kind of, you know, dark data that utilities have that they may not have great access to, in many cases, rather than even relying on data that they're getting from their own assets, they're relying on kind of on industry standard assumptions about, you know, mean time to failure for a given type of asset, for example. So, you know, they're making their asset rehabilitation and replacement decisions, you know, these major big ticket CapEx decisions, just on the basis of assumptions about, you know, this pipe is this old, so it must be in need of replacement, right? And so again, looking at some of those cross-industry studies, there's some research out there that only about 18% of asset failures kind of cross industry actually follow those kind of time-based or age-based patterns. So, you know, you're really not capturing the vast majority of the asset failures when you're just tackling things on an age-based or kind of a time-based perspective. Another, I think, important number to throw out there, you know, that Celine mentioned, you know, shifting from kind of a CapEx focused mindset to more of a TOTEX focused mindset, where you're looking not just at that upfront CapEx cost, but you're actually looking at kind of the full life cycle cost across the, you know, design, build, operate life cycle for, especially for larger water and wastewater infrastructure assets, like, you know, treatment facilities, for example. You know, there's some research out there suggesting that as much as 75 to 85% of the total life cycle costs are actually in that OpEx stage. You know, so while utility may be saving initially, if they're, you know, pursuing a path that kind of keeps those initial CapEx costs down, they may be spending a lot more in kind of the grand scheme of things in the life cycle of the asset if they're not being mindful of those kind of OpEx costs.
Two things there. That's really surprising to me, or staggering, I guess, that 18% only related to kind of the age issue, because you hear so much about how everything is breaking because of its age. That's a interesting statistic. And I like this TOTEX phrase here, which kind of brings the two different sides together. That's a good one. So if a utility takes this advanced approach, right, they take an advanced asset management approach and they decide to move forward, what's the value that they're going to realize from adopting that type of approach?
Well, I think there's obviously the monetary value, right? As Eric mentioned, you know, we've seen different case studies where you could be saving up to 20% on your CapEx by deferring projects, you know, that don't need to be replaced. But, you know, there's also a lot of other benefits when you start making better decisions based on data instead of institutional knowledge. Your reliability should improve overall, right? I know some of the reports that we've seen lately talk about water main breaks have been up over the last 5 years, almost 27%. So theoretically, if we are really addressing the right assets at the right time, customers should be seeing more reliability, less water main breaks, less boil water notices, better regulatory compliance in general. I think the whole concept of treating people as assets, obviously, you're going to have a more empowered and informed workforce. You're giving them better training, allowing them to be innovative, having more say in the management of the assets. And that ultimately should also help with your overall efficiency. And when you can have this, I guess, very transparent, data-driven decision-making, I think it helps communicate and have better relationships with your customers. You can show very black and white why you're doing what you're doing, how it's benefiting them, and how it makes sense. So there's definitely also that the aspect, relationships with your customers there. And I think those are really the key points. I don't know, Eric, if you have anything else to add on to that.
Yeah, absolutely. So one of the things that we've done in the course of this research was try to kind of put a monetary value on some of those benefits that Celine just mentioned. And, looking kind of specifically at the potential for advanced asset management, technologies and kind of approaches and mindsets more generally to drive CapEx savings by, kind of reducing unnecessary CapEx investment or eliminating unnecessary CapEx costs. And then also savings on the OpEx side, what are some of those costs, those operating costs that can be kept down by adopting these types of approaches. And so on the CapEx side, we arrived at a figure of about $27.5 billion in potential CapEx savings between 2019 and 2030. About 60% of that is on the kind of, the vertical asset side, the treatment plants, the pump stations, things like that. The other 40 or so percent is on the pipe networks. But $27.5 billion in CapEx savings. On the OpEx savings side, the figure is $34.9 billion over that, essentially 12-year period, right, 2019 to 2030. And that's from a combination of savings in labor, in-house and contract labor, in expenditure on chemicals, for example, by kind of optimizing your use of chemicals and optimizing dosing. Energy costs, certainly by, catching pumps when they start to kind of break down and operate less efficiently, you can save quite a bit on energy in that sense. And then just kind of more generally maintenance expenses, adopting more of a kind of a proactive maintenance regime instead of just responding when something fails, there's some significant savings there. So if you add those two figures up, the CapEx and the OpEx savings, we're looking at about $62.4 billion in TOTEX savings between 2019 and 2030. And that, if based on kind of Bluefield's projections about CapEx and OpEx trends over the next 10 years, that's about 6% potentially of total utility expenditure nationwide by the end of the decade. So pretty significant figure based on, I would say some fairly conservative adoption metrics that we kind of came up with for this research.
Wow, great stuff. So the advanced asset management going from concept and theory to reality. Could you share any examples of utilities that might be adopting this type of approach already and just how it's going?
Sure. In the UK, it's a much different story than in the US. They're very mature in terms of adopting these principles. Since the 90s, when all of the utilities became privatized, they started doing asset management plans. They have very strict regulations. So they've been doing this for almost 30 years now. Arcadis has been working with Severn Trent for quite a long time. We actually have one of our software tools implemented there. It's called the Arcadis Gen software. And that software is state of the art. It uses machine learning, artificial intelligence to gain an understanding of the asset failures, why they're happening, predicting where more failures might occur. And it actually optimizes what we've been talking about from an intervention. Should it be an OPEX strategy of a repair or additional predictive maintenance, or should it be a CAPEX strategy for a replacement? And it optimizes all of that. So, they've seen some great benefits from doing that and using the tools and really optimizing. I think there's been about a 15% cost efficiencies by using the tool. And the way it works in the UK, it's interesting because they're all privatized. They've actually gotten $65 million back in rewards or profits from being able to deliver their service levels to their customers or exceed those levels for less money. So quite a great success story there. Here in the US, we're also seeing utilities that are starting to take the journey to advanced asset management. One of the utilities that I've actually had the pleasure of working on the project on and off is the Metropolitan District Commission of Hartford in Hartford, Connecticut. And they've been on a journey, gosh, probably for about the last 10 years in working on their main replacement planning program. It started off way back when, where we were using age alone just to predict, you know, when should I be replacing the mains. Mm-hmm. Then it moved on to looking at a tool, a software tool that was using decay curves and actually looking at the consequence of failure and coordinating with paving projects. And that really optimized the replacement planning. Unfortunately, that tool became obsolete and not supported anymore. So Arcadis recently partnered with them about 3 years ago to come up with a new simple tool that would also look at decay over time, other risk factors besides age that could be deployed across the utility. It also allows for the operations and maintenance people to see what's going on, to have a say in it. And it's really been a journey. In fact, now we're looking at adding in machine learning and artificial intelligence with that particular tool as well, so that it can take the failure history and some of those risks besides age and understand how all that plays in to predicting what are the future needs or the future replacements that can be optimized. So Hartford's really had a 10-year journey along that path and is kind of on the leading edge now. I'm also working on another project in San Antonio with the San Antonio Water System that we're using another type of a machine learning program, again, doing their water main replacements, moving from just a reactive or age-based program to looking at all the different risk factors, modeling them, predicting the future, and really prioritizing what needs to be done and getting the best bang for the buck. So two good cases there in the U.S. Eric, I'm sure you have some more stats on what's going on in general with adopting these new types of softwares and solutions.
One of the, I think, really interesting kind of cross-industry studies that we've seen, or I should say, kind of cross-water utility studies is the AWWA in their State of the Water Industry report in 2018 did kind of a poll or a survey of different types of technologies that utilities were using. And so, as you can imagine, a lot of the really core software and hardware platforms that are kind of fundamental to you know, the kind of first stage of asset management or of advanced asset management, of kind of getting asset data online, getting real-time data feeds in place, like, you know, SCADA, GIS, hydraulic models, work order management systems, you know, those types of solutions, see a pretty decent amount of penetration or of adoption in that survey. So SCADA, you know, 96% of utilities surveyed were using SCADA or in the process of implementing it, 92% for GIS, 73% for work order management. So, you know, obviously significantly more than half of utilities surveyed were using these platforms. They also asked about like data mining and advanced analytics, and the number there was only about 17%. So even in 2018, still a relatively small minority of utilities starting to use some of these more advanced technologies that Celine was talking about, like machine learning, like artificial intelligence, like of predictive analytics. But in Bluefield's work, you know, tracking project deployments around the world, we are seeing, you know, pretty significant uptick in the adoption of these types of technologies. So looking at things like digital tools like advanced asset asset investment planning tools or other kind of risk analysis or failure analysis tools to aid in capital investment planning. Overall, we saw about 40 deployments of those types of technology around the world between 2015 and 2019, compared with only about 11 over the previous five-year period. So certainly still a minority, but a quickly growing minority. And I think that's kind of an important thing to point out. But it's also, you know, as we've been talking about, it's not just about the technologies, it's not just about the tools, it's also really about the kind of people aspect of it and the, you know, making sure that the utility workforce is kind of able to take advantage of the benefits of data, of more proactive and more advanced asset management philosophies. And so one of the other things that we did in this research that we've been doing with Arcadis was actually look at the kind of workforce and hiring trends for 100 of the biggest cities, biggest communities in the US. And so of those 100 cities that we surveyed, about 10 standalone utilities have created positions for, you know, a data analysis, data analyst positions, for example, economic analyst positions, or asset management analyst positions. And then another 8 municipal governments have kind of created overarching data analysis or data science or chief data officer positions. So that's 18 of the 100 that we looked at that have those types of roles in place. And I think what's even more maybe compelling is that 11 of those 18 were kind of created or will be created in 2019 or 2020. So, you know, certainly a very recent and kind of current phenomenon that's taking place whereby utilities are really looking to supplement their staff and to add these new types of capabilities and skill sets to take advantage of data, of kind of advanced asset management practices.
Sometimes these type of efforts, these transitions can be daunting to utility, and they might not know just how to get started. You know, it's like, well, we can't take all this on at once, right? So what would be kind of a first step or two that you think a utility could take to begin moving toward, you know, advanced asset management?
Well, that's a really good question. And as you said, it can be somewhat overwhelming. And I think to move forward with advanced asset management, you need to even understand what is your maturity or your capabilities in general of just asset management, right? So I think assessing your maturity is key. There's a couple of tools out there that you can use to really assess where you are on your asset management journey. The first one is put out by the Water Research Foundation. It's part of a knowledge base that they put together called SIMPLE. And if you're a Water Research Foundation member, you can go on and find the Strategic Asset Management Gap Analysis tool. It'll walk you through all of the requirements for, you know, a traditional asset management program. It'll actually even benchmark you if you put your data in anonymously against who are the top performers in the U.S. So it's a nice snapshot to see where you are in terms of just general asset management that will be able to enable you to move to the next level. Another pretty simplistic thing would be to take a look at your strategic plan for your utility. You know, has it been updated lately? Do you have one? Because asset management really needs to tie into your overall strategy and be able to give that line of sight to your employees. The ones that are out there touching the assets every day need to understand, how is what I'm doing adding to the overall goals or objectives of the utility? So, you know, without that, it makes it hard to really implement a basic asset management program, you know, and not only take it to that next level. You know, Eric mentioned the workforce. The workforce is super important. You're never going to be able to do basic asset management, advanced asset management, any asset management if you don't have people to do it. So, you know, very important is to foster a culture of innovation. A lot of the new tools, the new approaches, you know, can really come from innovation and grow from innovation. And there's a lot of utilities that are really focusing on this right now. I know AWWA has a group that's just focused on innovation and trying to incorporate that into a utility. It's a little challenging because sometimes it's pretty rigid working in government and through civil service, but there's a whole group of folks that are tackling that right now, over 100 utilities. Don't forget change management, because doing asset management is really changing the way that you're doing business, right? Hey, we're not going to use this age-based approach, or we're not just going to focus on the pipes, or we're not just going to look at capital. We're gonna have a new paradigm. So change management is super important. You know, everybody reads that 70% of change programs fail, mostly due to employees. So, you know, all the greatest digital solutions and technologies out there are not going to work unless there's people behind it. So definitely look at change management as part of your overall strategies.
Terrific, terrific stuff. I'm really glad that I was able to get on with the two of you. This is really exciting. I think that I hope this information is very helpful to a lot of people, and they, if they're not involved in this already in any way, that they can find some great first steps from here. They can certainly connect with you all if they want to learn more. But thank you very much for the tremendous information and your time.
Thanks a lot, Travis. It was a pleasure.
Words on water.